Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Water is the element of our inner world that influences what we bring to life, directing the flow of possibilities. Water brings life and movement. When we generate the flow of positive life, enhancing emotions such as trust, appreciation, and loving kindness, we develop a generous, open-hearted energy flow. This influences us and others in many unseen ways and grows within us, creating good health, happiness, becoming who we are and what we manifest for ourselves. The water that is in me and you may have come from the stars, or it may have been in the clouds or the rain, the snow-capped mountains. It has been in mountain streams, mighty rivers, vast oceans and many seas. Spring water that we drink has come from deep within the earth. It has been filtered and cleansed by the rocks, has absorbed minerals and bacteria, has been frozen in ice and snow, being mist, fog, steam and flood. Water needs to keep flowing and connecting, as this gives it life. When water becomes stagnant and isolated, it turns in on itself and becomes unhealthy, as is true of our bodies. We need to keep our watery emotions and inner pathways flowing and active to maintain our good health. This episode is about the water element and how we use it in our witchy world with us children. Unlike the rest of the episodes, this one seems quite fluid. We speak about the water element in tarot cards, how we can play with water in our daily lives, and how to honour it, as well as the usual instalments of shout-outs and tips along the way. So I hope you enjoy this episode, and have a drink of water while you're listening to keep you hydrated. And at the end, I'll finish with a watery poem as a thank you for listening in with us. So here we go. Enjoy. Here we are again for another episode of the Bellwitch podcast with Jodie.
And Swales. We've introduced each other there, that's a bit...
I quite like that.
If you do that, yeah.
So since we last recorded, I got feedback from the poetry competition. Well, not feedback, but results. And I didn't win. Gutted.
Oh. But yeah. We got shortlisted, which is a huge achievement because, I mean, most people don't even get longlisted, do they? There's a lot of entrants to that one.
Yeah, so I am proud that I got that far. I had a bit of a like, oh, for about 20 minutes and then I was like, just yourself off, move on.
I mean, your chances of winning something, like, you're more likely to get struck by lightning, aren't you?
I think so.
With their numbers, yeah.
And then last weekend I went on a retreat in Rathmel, which was amazing, and funnily enough it was very water based. It's all about like dipping in the rivers and journaling, so yeah, I came back feeling nice and
Photos were gorgeous, weren't they?
I didn't take many because I was so busy being part of it. But yeah, it was lovely. How are you? Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm okay. I've had a busy week, really. I've been really working hard and really focusing on my classes. So my classes are called Tarot Aces. Essentially, I teach people to read the way that I teach, and I'm a bit of a stickler, so I refuse to do any online lessons. I'm like, no, it's face-to-face, one-to-one or in groups. And everyone's got to the stage now where really they should be moving on. Instead, we're staying on and having tarot majors, which is amazing. But my tarot development group, because everyone's now completed Tarot Aces, they've got all this like incredible knowledge about all this sort of weird esoteric tarot stuff. So last night, basically done the most cerebral class that I've ever done. It was a class about the Tree of Life tarot spread, which is based on Kabbalah, astrology. You've got elemental dignities in there, you've got all these different threads to read, and you have to really, really understand the Kabbalah Tree of Life. So obviously it was very intimidating to teach in like 2 or 3 hours. Anyway, I cracked it. Everyone was able to give readings and kind of understand it. I could see that everyone's brains had turned to mush. And then we did some past life readings, which were really interesting. They asked to do that because I run the Tarot Social, and we did a past life themed Tarot Social and learned all about our past lives and did spreads and pendulum work, and that was incredible as well. One of the women had been in the mafia, or a wife of someone that was in the mafia in a past life, and she actually has a birthmark in the shape of a bullet hole at the back of her skull.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Whoa. Yeah. I always miss these things.
Apparently, I've had 5 other lives and I've been a fortune teller in all of them. Yeah.
What, and your cards told you that, did they?
Between the cards and the pendulum, we kind of interviewed our higher selves using the pendulum.
I'll have to come to one of these.
Yeah, you will. Little pendulum tip. Buy them dirt cheap online or at crystal shops, anywhere really. And you can even use like a necklace or a needle on a bit of thread. And when you hold it, it swings. You ask it to show you, yes, it'll swing one way. Ask it to show you, no, it'll swing the other. But one thing that people always miss is that you have to ask it for where you want the energy to come from. So for every reading that you do, you might say if it's a healing reading, you might ask for the goddess Epona, or you might ask for Archangel Raphael or somebody for the answers to come through them. If it's for something like past life, then it's you wanting to connect with your own higher self. But you don't always want answers from yourself, because sometimes you know that you don't know, if that makes sense.
You know what you know, and you know what you don't know, and then you don't know the biggest stuff that you don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm rubbish at pendulums. I've got them, but I'll hold them. I mean, you've seen, haven't you? And they just don't move. I don't know why. No. That is, it's so right, strange. No. Yeah, I just can't get them working.
The weirdest that I've seen is when people have them. I've only seen it twice, actually. And once was at the Grave Encounters paranormal night that we did. Pendulum trembling, like really trembling. And the hand not, like we were unable to replicate it trembling afterwards. But it was fully shaking. It was crazy.
Spooky. I got my board back out while I were at the retreat.
Did you?
A few of us did. Well, there were three others and myself. We went into my tent and did a little bit of spirit board. We didn't get much through, though. It was trying, but I think it was just so new again, and you know, we got a little bit of movement. But when we were doing it, the circle was around the fire and they were singing.
Yeah.
And so we were like, oh, can you hear them singing? Is that, you know, do you like it? Is that raising the vibes and stuff? The singing, and it moved to no. And we were like, oh, I didn't expect that. It was so funny. But there is a resident ghost there, Paula. I spoke to her last year around the fire, and that was the Saturday night. But I didn't get her this time. But interestingly enough, I went home Sunday and Paula made an appearance on Sunday night. Because it will have been exactly a year, wouldn't it? Because it would have been Sunday this year and Saturday last year. People have got her on cameras. It's very similar to the picture I've got. And one of the women said, oh, it's funny because I thought I could hear something, like somebody talking, but then I just thought, oh, it's the flap of the tent or whatever. So I'm like, yeah. Oh my God.
Sound like that. I had once at the High Farm where there was just a pillar. It was before we did the ghost night, actually, and it was the first time that I really knew without a shadow of a doubt that it was haunted. Whereas I was studying the snug once and I felt like, do you know when you're in like a fan, like not the, you know, like the hot fans that you get? What do they call them? Like the halogen heaters. I felt like I was in a tube of one of those and I could hear talking. It sounded like a radio, like in the wind, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And I was like, do you hear that? I was with Joe, who's one of my students, who is Peony Palm, doing tarot readings on Instagram. But yeah, she was like looking at me like I was insane. and I was like, stand here. And we swapped places and she looked like she was about to shit herself.
Isn't it funny?
It was just like a pillar where there was all this heat and noise. It was really weird.
Maybe trying to get your attention. Is she trying to get your attention? Oh, yeah.
Oh dear.
Singing.
Are you watching Blue's Clues?
No.
Yeah, last night there was something in the High Farm and it, like, we felt it. Me and Jill were both like, you know when you get that feeling when there's a spirit near? You know, yeah. Like that feeling. I felt that, but I didn't want to say anything because I thought I would just be a bit of a crank. And then Jill said that she had it. But my handbag handle, I was like sat on it and it was like jiggling. And I thought Jill was getting ready, but she was sat like stock still. And like I was looking at her and my handbag handle was still jiggling and yanking me. And I was thinking there's something between us. And then we were on about it. And there was a really big knock, so loud, on, do you know, the back of the wooden seats. You know, where we sit for the classes, they've got like wood at the back, on the back of there. And it was so loud that it actually shook all the seats.
What?
We felt it. It was mad.
Oh my God.
And then it tried to follow me home. So weirdly, we did a little circle, asked it, you know, to sort of nicely leave. Did a bit of a protection circle. Came home and I could feel that there was something with me and I was on my doorstep and I was like, please can you leave, do not enter my home, you know, I just don't want to hang out, basically. Came in, shut the door, and then just as I was about to lock the door, I heard footsteps between me and the door.
Oh my
god. You
word.
Know, like when you hear the floorboard move, and I was just like,
oh god, were you scared?
Yeah, I was like splashing everything in the house with salt water.
Water? Yeah. I definitely need more spirits in my life. But obviously invited spirits. They need to be invited. Right, well, shall we introduce our theme?
I'll let you, because I've just waffled on, haven't I?
So for this episode, we're going to talk about the elemental of water and how that can be used in magic, our magic with us kids, and yeah, all that kind of stuff, magic water. So have you got some spiel prepared?
I've not written a spiel, but I'm happy to blag it.
Okay, yeah, blag it.
So water is the element that's associated with the intuition and emotions. Interestingly, it is seen as one of the softer, more feminine, more passive elements. But at the same time, a raging sea doesn't seem very passive, does it? And interestingly, I actually have a phobia of water myself, and I didn't learn to swim until I was 23, and I don't like my kids swimming in open water or anywhere other than a swimming pool. So water's always been a tricky one for me to work with in the real world, but on an elemental level, on a magical level, it's just such a beautiful element. It's associated with lunar magic, the weather, the highs and lows of emotions, like I say, that raging tempestuous sea. It's also associated with calm and tranquility, as well as divination and scrying. You can scry with water very, very easily. And I think water's lovely because it is one of those elements that we need every day in our lives. You know, we have to drink water. But at the same time, there are some really beautiful, magical places where you can actually experience water, places such as sacred springs, oceans, rivers, lakes. Yeah, there's some really, really incredible sacred springs all around Britain, and holy wells and things like that.
A foss, a bit of fosses.
Foss, yeah, a foss. Well, I was thinking immediately of Chalice Well, where they have the red spring and then there's the white spring and they meet together, and they're both just incredible mineral reserves, but places where the water is really worshipped and revered. But also more locally to us in Yorkshire, we have Mother Shipton's Cave, don't we, with the petrifying well.
I was just thinking about that. Yeah, I mean, how magical is that? It's the most witchiest place ever in West Yorkshire. Is it West Yorkshire or North Yorkshire? Probably north.
Probably north. Only just, it's not far away.
Every time I go, I just love it. All these little toys and hats and shoes and God knows what hanging in the well, and they're all slowly turning into stone. And then there's Mother Shipton and her legend born in the caves. And have a Google.
The prophecies that she made were incredible as well. She predicted things like planes and computers and all sorts, all these amazing technological advancements.
She said we'll be riding on big metal birds in the sky. That's what she said.
Yeah.
And that's a plane. I've got a few books on it because I'm really interested in spooky stuff like people predicting.
She had a hard life as well, didn't she? Such a hard lie.
She did, but people liked her. She wasn't a feared witch, was she? People used to go to her for help. But maybe that could be an entire podcast on local witches. Water is the bringer of life, connecting force, flowing, joining and circulating around our planet and our bodies. Water naturally loves to move, restoring, recycling itself, reforming, regenerating, maturing and always self-regulating. Our physical bodies are made of 70% water. The water inside us connects us all to the life that is in our world, past, present and future. Quite like that.
Oh, it's you from are. That, sorry.
I'm going to say it's just from The Elements of Change by Glennie. It's one of my favourite ever books. Yeah. I love it. So you're a water sign. It's funny, you're a water sign, you don't like water.
Well, actually, I only have one water placement in my whole chart. Well, I have two, but one of them's a modern planet, so I don't really count it. You know, like my classical planets, not my modern ones. I'm a Cancer sun, but that's it. Most of the rest of my signs are earth and fire.
I can't remember mine. I'm really rubbish at astrology. It's just too big for my brain to comprehend. I love water, and I use water a lot in my daily life for mental health and magic life. I've got a bin in my garden that I do bin dipping with. So I climb into a wheelie bin and I sit in cold water for about 10 minutes. And that's kind of like cold water therapy to help your mental health. And I love it, absolutely love it. And I love wild swimming, although I don't do it very often because it's quite hard to find.
You'd never catch me wild swimming. I love the idea of it, but I also get scared that a leech is going to swim up my flu or something.
Oh, no. It's fine. I don't think they're that exotic in this country, but I prefer swimming in moving water because it's cleaner, more hygienic. You know, in still water, you get algae and stuff that can be quite toxic and upset your stomach. So Boston Spa is good for wild swimming. There's a little bit there you can get in and have a little swim, but you can't be in there long because it is cold. But even when I was a kid, I used to love getting my feet in stream, having a paddle. Baths and showers, you like baths, don't you?
I am obsessed with baths, literally obsessed. I could stew all day. It's the safety factor for me, and I like water. I like being on a beach. One of my favourite places is in Cornwall, a place called Charleston, and they've got like a cave that fills up with like a little pool. I love it in there.
That's cool.
I do like water. I just have a phobia. I don't like the idea. And I don't like, and this extends as well, weirdly, I don't like bathing my kids. So I get the grandparents to do it. Because I just have this vision of them drowning. I got dunked under when I was learning to swim.
Oh, but you never swim in the sea?
Oh no.
I love that. I mean, the sea in itself is quite magical, isn't it?
I love the sea, but nothing could possess me to go swimming in the sea. In fact, once I've quite a funny story. Me and my brother were in Cornwall, and there's this beautiful place called St. Michael's Mount. If you've ever heard of it,
I know it well.
And there's a beautiful, essentially, there's a little village, and then in the middle of the sea is an island with castles and natural trust reserve and all this amazing stuff on it. To get to this island, there's a path that's in when the tide's out. So there's a path you can walk across when the tide's out, which is really beautiful. Or there's boats if the tide's in. Me and my brother were once waiting to leave the island, and we noticed that there were some people sort of paddling, and the tide had started coming in, and they were like, you know, up to their ankles, just kind of walking through the sea back to the main village. And we were like, oh, we'll do that. Big mistake. The tide started coming in really, really fast. And before we knew it, we were about a third of the way, and it was up to our hips. And I can't swim. I'm not strong. God. I can swim now, but at that point, I couldn't even float. Yeah, and they were all, it was beautiful. You know, looking down at first when it was at like leg length, you could see all the seaweed had stood up, and you could see all the fish swimming, and it looked beautiful. But then it gets up to hip height, and it's crystal clear as the water in Cornwall. It's so clear, and all you see is all these jellyfish. Well, we turned and we ran back to St. Michael's Mount and got the boat back.
Yeah, it's known for the it going really quick, isn't it? I remember my mum took me when I was a teenager. It's famous for its how quickly the path gets covered up. But I mean, I love all swimming. I go to the swimming pool often. I call it my think swim, because when I go swimming at my local gym, that's when all my ideas come into my head. And even for this podcast, I was swimming. I remember swimming and thinking, like, I want to do a podcast, and all these ideas flood me, because there's something about the element of water which makes my body talk to other bits of body and my brain work more. And I like a skinny dip as well. I've been skinny dipping.
Yeah.
Once I went skinny dipping by accident. I didn't plan it. My friend was doing, you know, the winter open water thing that every January they do, this charity winter swim thing where you've got to have a dunk every day. And she lives near the Ilkley Moor. And she said to me, do you want to come for a swim with me? And I said, oh, I'll just come with you just to watch, kind of thing. So she was like, are you sure? Yes, too cold. It's January. Do you know what I mean? It's too cold. So we went up the moors, and she had this fabulous little pool that you could sit in, a bit like a bath. And she sat in it, and I was a bit like, oh, I haven't got a costume. And she went, oh, you don't need a costume, just get in. Anyway, how fast did my clothes drop? My body, I was straight naked, and this is like in the middle of the day, January. And it, I mean, it were cold, but you've got to do the whole breathing, go, oh, and then you're in, and you get your shoulders in, and oh, it was lovely. It was at the Beckstone. Do you know the Beckstones?
No.
In Ilkley, there's a 50-mile walk along the moors, and it's part of this Stanza Stone Trail, and there's 10 stones that have got like stuff carved on them, and I think some have got poetry.
Yeah, so I Simon know Armitage, we know about as the swastika stones. Is it the same ones?
Oh, I don't know,
because they've got like spiral swastika stones in Ilkley.
It's probably part of it, I would think.
And they have some water there, some lovely little pools.
This one had a Simon Armitage poem written on the stone near the water where I dunked. But it's worth a Google if that kind of thing floats your boat.
It's from the Iron Age, or the Bronze Age even. Is it that? I'm showing you the picture.
Yeah, that's part of it. Yeah, but I think Ilkley had got some money together and added some poetry stones, you know, so it's a day out finding all these stones. And Ilkley Moor is quite spooky, isn't it? Because there's aliens and stuff that go there. And there's the Ilkley Moor alien in the 80s. That's quite a good...
I've not heard of the Ilkley Moor alien.
Oh, yeah. And I think it's 1986. A guy saw an alien and he took a picture of it. And it's quite a famous picture. So that's...
Yeah, I'm Googling this right now.
Yeah, that was a very good dip. And I was dead proud of myself for dipping it in January. But it's just afterwards, the water makes you feel so refreshed and wholesome. And
for me, it's that comfort. I like water. So you seem to like cold water. I like warm water. So I like water, like hot tubs, baths. So I like, I love a bath spell. And you know me and my cheap tricks for things like bath salts, tea bags in the bath, you know, like a blackberry tea, chamomile tea. Bath bombs are obviously amazing but expensive. Tea bags, you can buy a bag of like 100 in the supermarket for like a couple of quid and make your bath smell lovely. And I love scrying while in water. I find that my intuition works a lot better when I'm in water because I guess I'm just relaxed and it eases up all your pains and aches and everything in your body. So I like filling up my cauldron with water and then just gazing into it. It's nice. It's a nice little alternative to a crystal ball for me. I also love the grounding effect of water for me personally. So at the moment, I've got my dog and, you know, we go and we walk around to a lake and a stream and everything and can just sit there all day, you know, in the woods at the edge of a stream with my dog. And it's that time out for me, that headspace, that calm. It's just, there's nothing like it.
The noise of a stream is really gorgeous, isn't it? And when I camped over the weekend, I always camp as close to the river as I can. It's only a little stream, but it's so lively. When you wake up on a morning in your tent and you can hear the stream running past you, it's so gorgeous. Love it.
Oh, yeah. I think water is seen as a creative element generally in things like the tarot and things as well. So for those of you that don't know, in the tarot, there's actually a suit that are associated with water, and that's the suit of cups. And they are about emotions, intuition, creativity, and that sort of soft heart energy. And they are just a really, really lovely sort of emotionally based suit. And I think in terms of creativity, I do think water really, really flows, and we can use it in things like painting and stuff in a way that really, really captures the imagination. Yeah, when I was working in the sauna, we used to do what was called wet on wet painting, and you can see this online. Just Google wet on wet painting and you'll see loads and loads of images come up. And it was essentially paper that had been soaked in water and then painted on with like really runny water paints, and the water just flows and blends into each other, and it creates the most beautiful rainbow scapes. And I just loved it. And I think, yeah, it is really, really creative. And it's sort of, it's very similar to how humans express ourselves. You know, our emotions flow, our creativity flows and water flows, and it's quite lively. It can be tempestuous or, you know, can drown you. But it can also be very, very tranquil and very peaceful to be near.
And it's unavoidable, isn't it? We need it to live. There's lots of variations of water as well. You can get ice, you can get snow, you can get...
Yeah, and you can get ice and snow spells specifically.
Yeah, yeah.
And thunderstorm spells. Do you guys know about spell waters? You know, water jars, magical waters that you can collect?
We should cover this.
Go on, you dive in.
Well, there's obviously moon water, isn't there? And that's filling up a jar, putting it in the moon. So the moon...
Yeah.
Vibes go through it, and then you can drink that water. I'll put it in the bath and absorb the fullness of the moon inside you. I mean, I'm a bit of a rubbish moon witch. I don't really bond with the moon, but a lot of witches do. No, that's another thing. We're opposite.
So, would you love the moon if fluffy witches hadn't made it cringe?
I don't think so, no.
I love the moon, but like fluffy witches have made it really cringe.
Yeah, I think because I'm solar witch, you know, so I prefer the sunshine. The sunshine does so much more for me than the moon.
I like both.
Did you see that meme I shared recently? Or was it a woman talking about you only see the moon because it takes its light from the sun? Yeah. So I was like, really, that really resonates with me.
Yeah. I actually wrote a poem about the moon, if you want me to share it. It was about how people worship the moon, but it's like this planet of like mystery and mystique, and it is associated with things like the tides. We assign so much to the moon. You know, we look at the moon, and as witches, we assign things like the tides, our menstrual cycles, our emotions, our little witching hours, you know, when our kids are having a tantrum, like, yeah. Oh, maybe it's a full moon. We assign all this stuff to the moon. But then it's kind of, on some level, maybe just a rock just floating around there, minding its own business. Don't care about us.
Blaming the moon for everything.
So I wrote a poem about it. So I can share it on the Insta if you want.
I was thinking maybe, because we'll probably do a moon episode, won't we? So it might be good to read on the moon episode.
Yes.
Because I've actually had a request about a moon, do a moon episode.
Yeah.
So that'd be handy there. So in terms of other waters, there's crystal water. So when you put your crystals in the water and drink it, so that's like an elixir in it. Although do be careful, some crystals are actually quite toxic. Tag's Eye, for example, has, what does it have in it? Something quite...
All sorts. All that has asbestos in it, just Tiger's Eye.
So,
Malachite as well. A lot of crystals have lead in. So maybe use them for spell work or baths rather than...
Don't drink that kind of crystal water. To be fair, I'd only say quartz is safe for crystal elixir to drink. I tend to use quartz for most things because it is the safest crystal and it's a master crystal, isn't it? What other waters is there? Can you think of any?
Stormwater. You can put a jar out in a thunderstorm to harness the thunderstorm energy. Snow that's melted as well is good.
They have good properties, I think. Salt water.
My personal fave. You know me and my salt, I'm obsessed. I go through that much salt, it's ridiculous.
I've actually got a jar of Scarborough seawater on my altar that I use a lot. On the crystals and the space and stuff. I like earlier on, Winnie had a rainmaker.
She did, yeah.
That was quite cool.
Aww. I feel like we've covered a lot of tips, haven't we? I think that one thing that we can talk about is water in the tarot, not just in the Suit of Cups. One thing that not a lot of people know about is the elemental and astrological associations of the tarot cards. So obviously your suits are all associated with an element. You know, your wands are fire, your pentacles are earth, swords are air, cups are water. But the major arcana are also grouped into three categories. You have some that are linked in with astrology, some that are linked in with the zodiac, and some that are linked in with elements. Interestingly, there's only three that are linked in with the elements, and it's the element of earth that's missing, because I guess we represent the earth. We're solid, aren't we? We're the manifest world. But the card that represents water was really surprising for me, personally. Do you know which card it is?
No, go on.
You're not gonna expect this. The Hanged Man.
The Hanged Man?
The Hanged Man. It's not what you'd expect, is it?
No, because it's such a still card. And water's...
It is, yeah.
It's movement, isn't it? And progression and stuff.
Yeah, but the idea is that it's associated with water. And it's like he's submerged. He's completely immersed in his situation, and all the while he's gaining new perspective, like if you looked around underwater.
Oh, yeah, I suppose being clear, emotionally clear.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's a funny card, the Hangman, just hanging around.
Yeah, I think there are so many ways to use water in terms of your relationship with magic as well, and it's one that you can use really, really subtly. So with fire, everyone knows if you're having a fire, don't they? And even things like candles, there's a bit more risk there. We spoke about that in the last episode. But with water, you can kind of take a bottle of water anywhere. You can harvest water anywhere. You know, you can collect water from any stream that you're at, any well or spring. But as well, things like baths and wild swimming and stuff are all like amazing ways of incorporating water into your practice. There are quite a few ways of using water without having a big body of water as well, such as a bathtub or a lake or a stream. For instance, one of my favourite water-based spells are freezer spells, which is where I literally get somebody's name if I want to block them from contacting me or causing me any bother. I get their name and write it on some paper, and then I pop it in a ramekin with some water and freeze it.
It's a good one, that, isn't it? I think it works quite quickly as well. I've got a cleansing bath ritual that I do. So when you have a bath or a shower, I imagine water as a vivid colour. Charge and heal your body and mind. I often use green for healing and growth, or pink for love and protection. Lay there and feel the water and give yourself time. Or if you haven't got a bath, you can do it in the shower. It's all about being aware, isn't it, of the feel of the water dropping on your skin. Enjoy the time. Try not to have a busy mind. Smell aromas if you use oils. And then when I'm in the bath, I imagine like I'm going underground. It's a bit weird, sort of growing roots into the earth. And then I wrote a little ditty. Don't know if you want to hear it.
Yeah.
A little rhyming spell. Water of the divine, sprinkle on my skin. Wash away my negativity so that I may be clean again. I tend to say this in the shower most often, just over and over again on a morning. It helps me feel a bit more refreshed. And then when you finish, you can watch the negativity flowing away down the plug hole to the drains. It's very self-care element.
I'd say it is a very comforting and self-care based element compared with, I think they all are in their own way, but especially water seems to have this soothing effect on us.
Yeah. Is it the Tempest where she's got a foot in it? Oh, Temperance.
Oh, Temperance, the card.
God, I'm such a poet.
There's Temperance or maybe the Star. I don't know which one you'd be thinking of.
Oh, well, is the Star, she's pouring water in, isn't she?
So I think that depends which deck you're looking at. The Star in my head is a woman sort of kneeling with one foot in some water while pouring water. And in Temperance, she's got two cups and she's pouring from one cup to the other, which is like an alchemy thing.
Yeah, so can you tell us a bit more about that water?
Oh, God, no.
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 So in terms of water with children, have we got any tips on how to combine them?
Water with children,
magically.
I guess, yeah, let them make the moon water and the sun water and things like that. It's something that children can get involved in. Also, when I worked at the Steiner, one of the things that the kids absolutely loved was a water butt. They just went mad for it. Just filling the little watering cans from this water butt. It was like just never ending fun for them. And water's great because not even just magically, but from a play perspective, it's kind of hard to get it wrong. It's easy to mop up. It's easy to dry up. It's, you know, it's kind of fine. Like, they can't make much mess with it. So I really like things like water painting, you know, just getting water and paintbrushes and then splashing the water on the walls and making little doodles and things is fun with kids.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. And then it dries off, doesn't it? And you can...
Yeah.
I saw somebody... Yes. Drew a line around it, you know, to show evaporation.
Ah,
and then it slowly went inwards, and then disappeared, and then just left the chalk outline, which I thought was quite a cool experiment.
Oh, that is cool.
Also, water, it has a memory, doesn't it? So I read something in the Silver Method, which is a really cool book about manifestation and stuff. You can program water because it's got a memory, you know, like in Frozen. Water's got a memory and it remembers stuff. But you can program your water and then drink it, so you hold it close to your face and imagine it's a bit like Reiki, actually, like raking it and filling it with good intention and desires.
That comes from Ho'oponopono, from the Sound of Things, where they use blue solar water, and they use it's basically water that's been solar water that's been made in a blue bottle, from my understanding, and had Ho'oponopono prayers chanted over it.
Yeah, similar stuff. And then you drink it, or sometimes you can give your plants it. I do Reiki water and then feed my plants, and then they get it, which is a cool thing to do. But my kids love water in the greenhouse. They're always going around because we've got a butt as well.
Yeah,
they love that they can just go turn the tap on and then water all the weeds, not the plants, just the weeds.
Yeah.
I think people are cottoning on to the magic of water and how much it helps mental health and well-being in the form of flotation tanks. Now, I remember when they first turned up, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, I think I got a taster ticket for a flotation experience that I just opened up in York that I got on Groupon. I had no idea what to expect, but I remember travelling over to York, going into this new place, being shown this mad-looking spaceship tank thing full of water, full of salt water, so it made you really buoyant, told to have a shower, take off my clothes and lie in it in the dark, obviously in a private room. But I remember even then going like, what have I signed up to? I have no idea what this is about. And when you get in the tank, you close the lid. There's nice lights around it, you know, purpley light. But I got
recommended to turn the lights off, so you're laying in the dark to get the best outcome and the most from it. So first you've got to kind of learn to trust the water and let all your muscles relax, float buoyantly without holding on to any tension in your muscles. So that in itself is quite a challenge. And then eventually when you do that, when you realise your head and your neck and your body will float and you'll be comfortable, then that was the point I turned the light off. And because the water is the same temperature as your body temperature, with the light off, your body starts to kind of like get a bit confused as to where the water is, because you can't feel it on your skin if you're still, because it becomes almost part of you. It was so trippy. It was absolutely amazing. I remember laying there, I think I had an hour session. And I remember thinking, laying there going like, I don't really understand what this is about. And then something changed in my soul. And it was like I was floating in space. And I didn't know where I stopped and where the water started. I couldn't feel anything, but I could feel everything. And my brain let go. And I remember my brain was vacant of all my worries. And I didn't know if I was asleep or awake. And then right at the very end, I don't know how long I've been in there, but I started to see my teeth had become jewels, you know, like treasure in my mouth, really beautiful, bright jewels. And I don't think they were falling out. I want to say if it started falling out, but I don't think they did. That's like a dream thing. I just remember being, God, it was so bizarre. I can't really explain. It is definitely something I recommend you try magically. It is one of the most coolest experiences I'd ever had. And then when the time was up, slowly the lights come on and you've to sit up, you know, because it's not very deep. I mean, it's not probably a foot deep, you know, until you learn to trust the water. You can just put your bum down and sit up and you just push the lid off and it'll open. There's a timer on it, so the lights came on. And then I'd lost all sense of time, so I had no idea how long I'd been in there. And then when you get out, you just have to kind of sit there going like, huh? For a good 10 minutes. And I just that experience really did a lot for me. And I always want to do more. Of course, it's not a cheap experience. It's definitely worth it, though. I do recommend trying the magic of a flotation tank that you're buoyant in and just letting all your worries go and letting the water heal you as it would if you went into the sea, because it's salty. It is a beautiful element. It does so much for me. If it could do a lot for you if you just give it time and space and connect. Even doing the washing up, with your hands in the washing up, just take a moment to feel that hot water on your hands, on your nails, on your wrists. It's finding bits and pieces of magic and just neatly slotting them around your daily life. Wash up mindfully with the water. Get your kids to sit in the bath and think about how this water feels right in this moment. What shapes can they see in the bubbles? Magic can be found anywhere if you just look for it. Whilst thinking about this episode and planning what we were going to say, I thought a lot about the water element in my life, and I come to realise a lot of my favourite moments, I've quite often had the element of water within them. I remember having a moon circle one summer in my garden, and people had come over to stand in my garden with me and sing and light a fire. And it was the summer in the middle of lockdown, when it was really, really hot. But we were allowed to be together just briefly before they locked us down again. We were all sat there around this fire and the heavens absolutely opened, and it was the most amazing, empowering downpour that lasted only 2 or 3 minutes. And we had to scurry everything under the shelter next to my house, you know, to try and stop it getting waterlogged. And we were all just stood there soaked to the bone under the carport and just watching the rain fall. Amazed and excited by it. Everybody was so happy to see it, feel it, because it was warm. It was a really nice moment. It's one of them amazing moments I often think about and think, gosh, how magical was that? You know, getting excited
when the rain pours down, you know, that special rain that's so heavy and it lasts, it's only brief. Everybody, all the witches I know, get all the jars and the buckets out, throw them out of the windows and the doors, the doorsteps to collect this fantastic, furious rainfall. And then I also think about when I had my second baby, Clementine. For my first baby, Florence, I wanted a water birth. But because first pregnancies are always a little bit risky and complicated. And so, unfortunately, things went wrong and I went over by 2 weeks and a water birth just wasn't something I could grasp. In my second pregnancy, I was hell-bent on having a birthing pool because I just knew the water would soothe me and aid me giving birth. And the only way I could guarantee I'd actually get a water birth was to have a home birth. So really, I had a home birth just for the water. And I was so ecstatic when my little birthing pool just fitted in my bathroom. And her birth was absolutely beautiful. And one of the best, probably the best moment in my life of giving birth on my own with my husband near in another room. Beautiful, calming, loving, warm water. I was so relaxed and I could feel all the body changes because, as I said before, water helps me talk to my body. And unfortunately, not on purpose, but there was no midwives available. So I figured I could hang on till one of them clocked on, a midwife clocked on at 7 a.m. My first birth being like 85 hours, a whole weekend basically. So I was so sure my second birth would be not as long, but not a short birth. But in the end, she only took 6 hours to come because I was just so relaxed with beautiful element of water, keeping me focused, level-headed and in tune with the moment. Water, I mean, we take it for granted, really. If we want water, we can just turn a tap on and it'll come out. If we want warm water, we can boil a kettle in an instant. We've got a boiler. We need to, I kind of feel like I need to give it more sort of respect and honour and really appreciate and not take it for granted, because water really is the life source, one of the big life sources of our existence. And every living being needs water, some more than others. The fish swim in it, you know, the mammals drink it, bathe in it, and then we do magic in it. It's just, it's amazing, absolutely amazing, and we don't give it enough credit. So in that vein, I was looking at a book called Earth, Air, Fire and Water by Scott Cunningham. I really like this book because it's sort of quick and snappy, and it's not like massively overpowering with information, but he tends to write things that are easy accessible, especially for people like me who are quite solitary witches. One of the spells I've used quite often in this book is water to increase your psychic awareness. Now go to a flat, slow moving stream, bury a coin at the base of a nearby tree or bush, and gently collect 3 leaves. Thank the plant for its sacrifice as you collect these leaves. Next, hold the leaves between your palms. Visualize yourself as a psychic person who can call upon the psychic mind at will. Imagine what it would be like to be psychic. Push your personal power into these leaves, all your visualization. Set one leaf afloat on top of the water and say these or similar words. Leaf afloat, leaf so green, help me see what is unseen. As the first leaf sails away, launch another one, and then a third, each time saying these words. As each leaf touches the water, it slowly dispels the energy that you've given to it. This energy mixes with the psychic-inducing power of the water to bring your need into manifestation. I really like this spell. I've done it 2 or 3 times now, and it's such a lovely, easy one to do. I mean, just putting anything in a stream is also pretty cool, isn't it? Watching it float away, wondering where it's going to end up. And I've taken crystals many a time, put crystals in the flowing water to cleanse them naturally. Whilst I was at the retreat this weekend in Rathmel,
I had the opportunity to decorate a teepee tent into a kawichi place to relax and chill. A witch tent, complete with an altar which I brought from my house, most of my indoor altar stuff I took there, and set it up so it was a working altar, people could come and spend time with it and touch it and enjoy it. My altars are quite complicated by nature, just because I enjoy the actual method of making an altar, you know, just mindfulness of it, and it brings me such enjoyment. I think a few people must have realised how busy it was, but I also wanted to just, I wanted to get across that an altar can be as simple or as busy as you're drawn to make it. Just like magic in general, it can be as complicated or as simple by design, however you will it to be. The altar doesn't have to be a complicated thing. It's advisable to have each element represented for your magical workings. I read recently about the shotgrass altar, which is a really cool, nifty way to create an altar at speed with not much around you. Four glasses, shot glasses or tumblers. Fill one up with dirt for earth, one with feathers or incense for air, one with a candle for fire, and then, of course, a glass of water for water. I just think that's such a cool little tip, because not everybody can carry an altar around with them. And if you needed somewhere pretty quick and you went outdoors and you forgot stuff, you don't even have to have the glasses. You could just make sweet little piles of things on a rock or a bridge. Nature art. It'd be a quite nice an offering to the forest. And then you could leave them there to be discovered by others. So, yeah, that's quite a good tip. The next thing up is shout out. I'd like to shout out my friend and mentor, Louise Bloomer of the Wiccan Lady. First discovered Louise very shortly after I'd made the realisation that I wanted to train as a professional witch to do it right and to get some advice and stuff. So a quick Google, witch leads or witch business leads, and the Wiccan Lady popped up and I tracked her down. I saw she were actually at an event, I think the following weekend, a few days after I'd looked, I think she was at a Mind Body Spirit Fair in Harrogate. And so I got my car, drove there, made myself walk up to her and be like, hi, can you help me be a witch? And bless her, she took me under her wing. And uncannily, she was about to start a first witchy school, which I promptly joined. And I've done all three levels and I'm just coming to the end of my year three. And ready for initiation in the summer. But she's taught me so much in different ways, and she runs professional workshops at her house. She does talks at shows. She does the camps. She's got her own stall. She tends to sell a lot of witch books and spells and knickknacks and gifts and brooms. She makes these amazing brooms. You know, if your heart's into it, she will absolutely help you and guide you. A Wiccan and a hedge witch and a general pagan all round. So yeah, check her out. She's really easy to find if you just Google the Wiccan Lady in Leeds. So I think we're at the end now. Thank you very much for listening to our podcast. As always, we so appreciate you. Recently, we got 10 reviews on Spotify, which means it now shows us the stars. We've got a couple of reviews on Apple Podcasts. So if you've got the time and the spoons, it'd be awesome if you could share us and rate us and review us on these platforms. This episode was produced by Jodie Jones and myself, Emma Swales, on Zencaster Distributors. Books that I've been using was one by Glennie Kindred and Scott Cunningham. Music by Jeff Harvey. And to finish with, I was thinking of carrying on the tradition of a poem to connect the elements that we're covering. So this poem I wrote, and it's called I Am Water, and it's probably one of my favourites actually. I shall read it for you now. When I swim, I am fluid. Water becomes an extension of my body, or I become an extension of the water. It is pleasantly confusing, healing flotation, gently pressing on my skin, holding me like a lover, tender liquid. Needing no strength to lift my weight, bubbles of silver orbs rise, emerging from my lungs. Delicate jellyfish, gliding in a dream space, peaceful blue haze. Below the surface of the ripples, I drift low to the earth in a transparent landscape. No longer a land-roaming being, but an aquatic creature, swimming free, or a mighty organism built to withstand the vast ocean tides that are dormant now. bleaching out sounds of reality, I resurface to breathe. I am water.
About Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.